teacher to come and sift the word
yes,
down into edible bites.
Yes, sir.
Right. All right.
So people can receive the word of the Lord.
Yes.
And then he sends the evangelist to take that sifted word and to translate it into action.
Yes, sir.
To move past the walls of the church.
Yes.
So
yes.
The prophetic word doesn't just stay within the church, but it moves forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then he sends the shepherd to gather those who haven't gotten it yet and a stray left or right. And he, shepherd, brings them into life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the church has to recognize that you have to have a fullness in order to operate.
Yes, sir.
Because once God releases a prophetic, you have to then be able to receive it. You have to be able to embrace it. You have to be able to lock it down and make it your own. And you have to then be, even with a prophetic, you have to then be able to yield to the leadership of the shepherd.
Yes, sir.
Who keeps you from going left or too far right. And that apostolic leadership will carve the way forward. Never allowing the church to rest.
Yes, sir.
Continue to push the church further.
Yes.
To say that there's more that we need to conquer. There's more that we need to do. There's continual space that we have to take and to occupy.
Yes, yes.
And so there's a need for all of the gifts to be in operation in the body of Christ. Amen.
Yes.
In the season that we're in right now, God is forcing the church to throw its stuff in the trash.
My God, say it.
It's that time.
Say it.
It's the time for us to throw all of our stuff. All the things that divide us.
Come on.
All the things that keep us in pride. All the things that keep us refusing to blend or mix.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
Another. That God is taking those and throwing them away. God is taking the empires that man creates, even within the church. And he's shaking. So that only what stands is what's built on him.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes,
yes, sir.
Job 22 and 28. Is what the foundation was for this celebration. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
You've had a prophetic word given, and what I want to do is I want to move with that prophetic word. I want to help you understand something. My call is to teach. So I'm going to teach you something to help you with this prophetic word.
Yes.
He spoke some things prophetically over this church, but I want to teach you something to help lock this down.
Lock it up. Lock it up.
That's good.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
The book of Job, we all know about Job. We all know that Job's life was one of blessing. Mm-hmm. And Job was looked upon by people as being a great man. Wonderful children, possessions, land, cattle. All the things that make one rich in his season. But there's a dialogue in heaven concerning Job. And that dialogue is between God and Satan. And the dialogue from God is, this is a man who loves me.
Yes, it is.
Right.
Yes, sir.
The dialogue from Satan is, who wouldn't love you?
Yeah. Say it.
You bless him and give him stuff and you touch, you bless him so thoroughly? Who couldn't love you like that?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't love a God who's blessed you and taken care of you and done this great thing for you? Who couldn't love you?
Yes.
But if you let me strike him down, he will curse you. That's the dialogue from heaven. So God opens the doors and he allows Satan a certain space to touch a man who loved God. Children, money, everything that had to do with his wealth and his personal pride was stripped. Sickness in his body. All occur in a moment. So much so that his wife, who's been along the ride from the beginning with him, looks at him and says, "Are you still trying to hold on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Get this over with." Do you see the situation we're in? Do you see where we are right now? Do you see how bad things have gotten? And you're still talking about God? You need to stop talking about God and go get a job, man. You need to stop talking about God and grieve over our children that we lost. You need to stop talking about God and just die, because look at you, the sickness, you're scraping your body because of boils and sickness all over you. Why don't you just die, man?
My Lord.
So Job has three friends that come to visit him. And when the friends come and visit, they start telling him what he must have done wrong.
That's what they do.
These ain't the enemies, his friends. All the calamity. What did you do? And then they go past asking him what he did to telling him what he must do. So in chapter 20, one of his friends starts breaking down how the wicked are always punished. And chapter 21, Job argues with him and starts telling him, "That's what people did. I haven't done none of this."
And
then in chapter 22, his friend says to him, "Can a man be profitable to God?" Job, that's the question you're asking. Can a man be profitable to God? And he goes and he starts talking about these issues. And then verse 21, after he tells him all the things that happened, he says, "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Then you will lay your gold in the dust, the gold of Ophir, among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways." Very important thing I want you to understand. Verse 28, when he says, "You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you." That was Job's friend telling him, "If you get it together."
My Lord.
Now, what's really important to understand here is God didn't say that. Job's friend said. But Job's friend tapped into something that is true. And this is what you need to understand. Grace point. This is what you really need to understand.
Help us.
He said, "If you declare a thing, it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways." He's absolutely right. The problem is, he's judging Job with his eyes. Let me say that again. The problem is, he's judging Job's situation and Job by his eyes. So, understand, prophetic word comes. a healing word comes. And you receive that word into your heart and you know that it's true. But then your circumstances still look like death.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your circumstances still look like anguish. And they still look like pain. They still look like everything before the word was spoken. And people are looking at you, judging you, based on their perception of what they see, rather than the word God spoke to you.
Yes.
Stay in the book.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you are moved by what people say, you will never walk where God wants you to walk.
Come on.
Because people are looking at the environment and they're making judgments based on the environment. When God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of the unseen. I'm not pleased with anything except faith. I'm not pleased with what you see. I'm pleased with your faith. So when a prophetic word comes, you're not going to be able to see it unless God
help us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
When a prophetic word comes, we want to see it and understand it before we'll step into it. But God said, that's not your faith. That's your flesh talking. And I'm trying to move you past flesh. Your flesh gets hit with sickness and it wants to receive it.
Right.
Right.
Because your flesh is already condemned.
My Lord.
Your flesh is made of dirt, minerals. You open your body, all you're going to get is calcium and magnesium, and you're going to get iron, the same stuff that's in the dirt. Your body's trying to go back to the dirt.
Right. Well,
yes. So when sickness and disease comes, it's going to embrace it.
Wow.
That's where it came from. It's trying to go back.
Come on.
But God didn't make you to only live in this body. You are a spirit living inside a physical body. That's who you are. And if you identify with that flesh will take you back to the ground where your body came from.
My Lord.
But the spirit gives life. The same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, if it be in you, it will quicken and make alive your mortal body.
Yes.
Your death-doomed body. It will make it alive.
Yes.
But it has to be the spirit that makes it alive. Now, blessing. Their perception of blessing in looking at Job was based on what they saw. And even his wife, when they lost their stuff, started to believe that they were no longer blessed. But Job knew there's something more to this.
Yeah.
I won't let go of this because I know there's something more than just this stuff.
Right.
My worship God with God, that wasn't it. That wasn't the whole thing.
Yes.
So even though I lost everything, I have to hang on to God. Even if I don't understand what's happening in my life right now, I'm going to hold on to Him.
Yes.
Even though I don't understand, I have a promise from God that certain things are going to happen. And everybody's saying, you said God was going to do this.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
That's what pastors always end up.
Thank you, God.
Right.
Pastors always end up hearing from God and moving into the invisible. And many times the people around them are engaging on the visible.
Yes, they do.
Yes,
sir.
And so the challenge is to not be moved by the visible.
Yes.
I'm not going to preach a long message. I'm going to move to some truth. I'm taking you to Job 42.
Yes, sir.
After all the dialogue,
that's good.
All the conversation, finally God steps in.
All right.
Beginning somewhere around verse chapter 38 or so, God starts talking.
Yes, sir.
And for the next four chapters, God is straightening them all out.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Chapter 42, verse 10. very important here. God corrects Job. Then he corrects Job's friends and said, you all have done wickedly because you talked to Job about stuff you don't understand. You tried to tell Job what to do. You tried to tell him how to get it straight, and you don't even know what Job knows. This is what the church has to understand. All the promises that God has given to you, they cannot be released until we get our eyes off of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
You see, all this time, the dialogue with Job has been about what Job did wrong and what happened to Job and everything wrong with Job and Job and Job and Job. And his friends are going to encourage him because they're coming. They're not in Job's bad condition. They're coming to take care of Job. They're going to tell Job what he needs to do. They're going to explain to Job how it's going. They're going to talk to him about God and tell him about what he needs to do. All these things happen, and God's prescription in verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses. When? Turn to your neighbor and say, when?
When
he prayed for his friends. You want God's prophetic word to come to pass over your life? You need to get your eyes off of you and start praying for your friends. You want stuff to get off of you? You want to get out of torment? You want to get up? When God sends a prophetic word, he's confirming that he sees you. He understands where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows all about you, and he's sending a word to take care of you. And what he wants you to do is then receive it and turn from yourself.
Mother,
and pray for your friends. As long as Job saw his own interests, he couldn't come out of what he was in. It's not until God comes and speaks and says, turn your eyes, Job.
My Lord.
Turn your eyes, Job. Take your eyes off of yourself. Put your eyes on your friends. And let me minister to them through you. Let me speak a word to them. Let me use you to bring life to them. And I will restore you. I will take care of you, Job.
Yes.
I will take care of you. I will take care of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will take care of your life. I will see you through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be with you. But God's promises require obedience. Real quickly, I'm going to try to do what the Holy Spirit says to do.
Yes, sir.
Mark chapter 11, I'm going to read something to you. Mark chapter 11, we talked to everybody about this being a great statement of faith, but this gets back to the same word that was spoken to Job by his friend. Mark 11, verse 22 says, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Then your Father in heaven may also forgive you. God said, I will answer your words. Just like Elijah said, if you declare a thing, God will establish it.
Yeah.
Jesus comes back and said, guess what? If you speak a word out of your mouth and believe in your heart, no doubt, it's going to come to pass.
Yeah. Yes.
See, he was telling Job the right thing. He was just telling him the wrong way.
Yes.
He was telling him under a sense of condemnation and under this thing that you're not right, so you can't. That's why you can't declare something and have it come to pass. No. Jesus is what makes me righteous.
Yeah.
Right.
Jesus is God's promise to me that I'm sufficient in him. Jesus is the promise to me that I have everything that I need according to his riches and glory. Jesus is my promise.
Yeah.
And with the promise now, I can speak to mountains not on my behalf, but on your behalf.
Hallelujah.
I can make things move on your behalf. I'm not calling it down for me. I'm speaking to me. But he says if you speak anything,
That's good. That's good. Yes.
Forgiveness. Get that forgiveness out of the way. Get that. Deal with that. And God will be able to do everything because you'll be in right standing with God. You'll be able to flow in whatever he says. I'm going to read one last passage to you. The book of James, chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. The reason we're not receiving is because we're not praying for our friends. We're trying to get stuff for us, and that's not the kingdom way. See, the kingdom way, Jesus said, no man has greater love than this, that he would lay down his life for friends. Lay down his life. This is how men will know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. All the indicators of our salvation, all the indicators of our blessing are not pictures of us. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, brethren, now concerning spiritual gifts.
Yes.
I don't want you to be ignorant.
That's what
he said. And he goes on and begins explaining spiritual gifts and that we're connected as one body together. Then he says in chapter 13, now, though I speak with tongues, though I get my body to be burned, though I do this and do that, but I don't have love, it's worthless. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. If you don't have love, the gifts don't mean anything.
Right.
And then chapter 14, verse 1 says, now desire spiritual gifts, but pursue love.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Thank you.
If we want to transform, we have to lay our own selves down.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's good. Which recognize that what was spoken over Pastor James. A man's gift will make room for him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
A gift is not a gift until it's presented to somebody else.
Yeah.
When I go to the store and buy, it's mine until I give it. Sometimes we have tried so hard to become something in the body of Christ.
Yes, say it.
Miss
say it. Say
the reality it. That God is making us something for other people.
Yes.
That our gifts are worthless if they're not presented to others in a spirit of love, in a spirit of kindness, in a spirit of patience, not demanding our own way. Because it's God's gift. So Job's healing and the healing that we would need to receive from the word that was spoken.
Yes.
If you want the word to come to pass on your life, settle the word and then turn and give.
Yes, sir.
Settle the word, pray for your friends, intercede for those.
Yes.
Even those who have set themselves against you. Just a recognition that they need your prayers. Amen. Amen. Do y'all remember what the prophetic word was tonight? You remember the prophetic word tonight? First of all, that God was healing him. God's healing him. Head to toe. He's tuning him up. And that God has a hand over this church, over this ministry. God is giving favor. God is giving the resources.
Yes.
God is doing his work.
Yes.
So receive the word in confidence and set your worry off of those things.
Mm-hmm.
No longer worry about where money's coming from. Just know it's coming.
Yes.
Amen. Don't worry about how many people are in the room. Just know they're coming.
Yes.
Don't worry about any of those things. Those things don't make a difference. Jesus, we know Jesus is having 12 disciples, right? For 3.5 years, the greatest man ever to walk the earth had 12 people around him.
Right.
3.5 years. That's all he got. He got 12. Some people would have said, oh, what a failure. 12 people. You healing the sick, raising the dead, staying up all night, walking around, climbing mountains, out on boats. You're going all over the countryside. 12 is what you got. Maybe there's some people who say, I can't receive from you. Because they're judging with their eyes.
My Lord, my Lord.
They did what Job's friends did. Judge with eyes. That's not how God judges. Seven sons of Jesse are sitting in the room. The prophet comes to the house and tells Jesse, the king of Israel is in this house. He said, oh, it must be this one. Nope. It must be the good looking one.
Nope.
Oh, this one, the strong warrior.
Nope.
No. He goes through all the sons. He said, no, y'all must have somebody else. It gotta be another, because God told me he's in this house, but these are not the ones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We got one more. He's a little troublemaker. He's out taking care of the sheep. Some theologians say that David was perhaps not even their full brother. That he was a little side child who the other brothers didn't receive. Which is why he wasn't in the house with everyone else. The illegitimate son. The one that nobody's cared about being around.
Yeah.
But rejected by God sometimes means accepted. Rejected by people.
Yes. All right.
Sometimes means accepted by God.
Yes.
Because God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound people and to think they're sly instead of tough.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not trying to preach you happy. I just want to teach. I just want to share the words. Amen. Amen. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah.
Good work.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to know how to just go with what the Lord says to me. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody in this room right now. Somebody in this room as was spoken over Pastor James. Some of this room has given up on a couple of things. Because you've been having a Job season. And you started to believe that the Job season was your life. It was the end. But what you don't realize is it was spoken about the olive earlier tonight. The olive gets crushed because crushing is its purpose. The olive gets crushed, it gets pressed, it gets squeezed down, it gets pushed because the value of the olive is what's in it.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes we've mistakenly thought that our trials have come to destroy us when our trials have actually come to release what's in us.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. My Lord.
Wow. I was an unbeliever. I was an atheist. I didn't believe there was a God. I told the sky, I don't believe there's a God. And for years I lived arguing with Christians that keep trying to get me saved. I was like a magnet for Christians. They would just always come and try to talk to me. And I would argue with them. This one man one day came and he was telling me, and I said something so cruel to him, he started crying. And at the time I was like, yeah, I made a grown man cry. But I didn't realize he was crying for me.
Yes.
I mean, he crying because he hurt. I mean, crying for me, crying for my soul.
Yeah.
Don't know any better. Ignorant. But a series of trials did come into my life. And when those series of trials came into my life, I didn't know how to manage them because I'm an atheist. I ain't going to God for sure. I'm trying to figure this stuff out. I'm trying to figure it out, and it ain't working. None of it. And then I started to believe that this is my life. My life is just these things, and I'll just live this way. And my choices began to embrace failure.
Jesus.
Not from a human standard, but failure from a quality of life perspective.
Yes.
The joy was not meant for me. The peace was not meant for me. That wasn't mine. Because life isn't like that. Life is not filled with peace, joy. That's phony. That's foolishness. Pray for me. So I gave up on that. But then came Jesus.
My Lord.
Then came Jesus into my life. And so for a season, I was like a Job, sitting there just starting to believe that my life was a certain way.
Yes.
And then God turned my life around. And the first ministry that God gave me was the ministry of an intercessor to pray for others.
Yes.
So what I want to call your attention to right now is we're going to take a moment. I want you to consider someone you need to be in prayer for. And we are going to pray not for ourselves. We're going to pray for somebody else right now. We're going to activate this prophetic word. We're going to trust that this prophetic word that's been spoken to us is going to come to pass. We settle in our heart that God has spoken. We believe that settles it on that. So now that that has occurred, now we're going to lift up our eyes to pray for someone else. Hallelujah. So as you lift your hands, I want you now just begin to intercede for someone that you know needs your prayers right now. And God's going to release them. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. And if God has spoken a prophetic word that we were willing to cheer for, now we need to put the same energy into interceding for someone else. Right now, we need to call out to God on someone else's behalf. Right now, we need to call out to God on behalf of those who are not able to pray for themselves, who are either under deception, or under persecution, or under oppression, or under some form of spirit. Lord, we stand in the gap on behalf of our friends. And we know as we're praying for them, you are healing our situations. You're healing our circumstances right now. We receive the word of the Lord. We receive the Spirit right now. And we pray right now. We declare the life of God. We declare the blessing of the Lord over people in our lives right now. We thank you that we chip away and strip away the power of every demonic spirit, every unclean thing, every demonic oppression. Right now, we thank you. We loose them in the name of Jesus. We bind every strong man in their lives. We come against every perverted spirit. We come against every oppressive spirit. We come against everything that will try to dominate their lives. And we loose the Holy Spirit right now. Spirit, we loose you right now. We loose you to operate in their lives, to operate in their behalf. We loose you, Holy Spirit, to go forth in your power, in your anointing right now. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. moment and pray for his framework. And that's what brought forth the manifestation. See, if you declare a thing and you're in him, then you're not declaring out of your mind. You're declaring out of your heart what come the issues of your life. The boundaries for the issues of your life, they're what comes out of your heart. And what's in our hearts is him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us.